Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
إذن غري سيرفع غري يرفع الكورة جول 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 كالفرت لوين ريمونتادا لليفرتون.
Welcome to episode 134 of the Unholy Trinity podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. What can I say? I can't say much. I haven't got much of a voice, and it's not from the match, unfortunately. That's another story. Everton 3, Crystal Palace 2, a game that had absolutely everything, a game that brought me to tears. I'm sure Lee was, well, I know he was. He was the same. 2-0 down in the game, 3-2. Jubilant scenes at full time. It was just, Lee, I don't even know how to describe it, because we've been craving this win, you know, since sort of the Watford game, really. We knew what happened against Brentford. We spoke a couple of days ago about that. And we got into a game against Crystal Palace, knowing yet again 3 points will do the job. We'll be safe. But listen, what a way to go about it.
Well, I honestly cannot describe the scenes last night in any sort of coherent manner whatsoever. All I can say is I woke up this morning with a voice like Barry White, mate. I should have recorded a few songs. But no, honestly, mate, it was just... How can you describe Goodison last night? It was literally everything encapsulated in one. I mean, it was absolutely wild scenes at times, mate. I think I said to you boys, it was like Mad Max and the Thunderdome, mate, in there. It literally was. It was just absolute carnage everywhere. I mean, I wasn't sitting in my usual seat in Norman, the Upper Bullens. I gave up my ticket for someone who wanted to take his son. So I ended up sitting with somebody else up in the top balcony. And the irony is, here's the irony. The last time I sat there was at the Wimbledon game as a kid in 1994 with my dad. How mad's that? Literally, I was up there with my dad and my uncle. And I said to my dad after the game, is that where we sat when we went to the Wimbledon game? And he was like, yeah, it was, yeah. So it was literally like history repeating itself. But yeah, what an absolute, you know, unbelievable game. I'm gutted, obviously, you could make it, you know, for health reasons. But I mean, Pete and I just came out of the ground, and literally we were just looking at each other in disbelief, relief more than anything else as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, at the final whistle, everyone was going nuts. You're hugging people around you, everything else. And then, you know, as is always the case, and I just took a moment just to sit there and, you know, I'm not going to lie, there was a few tears there as well. And I'm thinking, what am I crying for here? I'm like, literally a grown man at a footy game, do you know what I mean? But that's what this season has been, isn't it? The season has just been literally from the highs of, you know, Ancelotti to losing Ancelotti to replacing someone that we were never going to love, you know, to them bringing in Lampard on the, you know, last day of the blooming transfer window, him galvanising the fan base and you know, sort of combination of him, the players, the fans especially, dragging us over the line. It's just, like I said, I think the overriding emotion is just one of pure relief, isn't it?
Yeah, it most definitely is. I mean, obviously, we spoke on Monday, did a show Monday, and I was obviously due to go, and then COVID hit me, so tested positive for COVID on Wednesday, which then scuppered me going to Goodison Park. Obviously soul destroying, the fact that I'd want to be there. I'd want to be there any time, but obviously how important last night was. So I was devastated not to go, and Well, listen, one of those things. But the range of emotions that that game brought out of us all, it was just something which I've not seen really since probably Wimbledon. Very, very similar in terms of how the game went, going 2-0 down. And the similarities, you know, just didn't end there because similar time, I think we got the third goal against Wimbledon in the 81st minute, Dom 85 minutes last night. And it was just one of those where I sat here at 2-0 down, thinking to myself, right, get your head ready for Sunday now. What do we need to do? I'm looking at, you know, can we rely on Brentford to take something off Leeds? But at the time, Burnley were winning 1-0 as well against Aston Villa, and you're thinking, this isn't going to go our way. That too many things have gone against us here for us to stay in the Premier League. And you know, when you see again, you know, I've got to touch on it. I keep on repeating myself the last few shows. What we're up against it again, aren't we? In terms of the officials, because not only are we 2-0 down, the player who scores the second goal 2 minutes prior to that does a scissor tackle on Anthony Gordon, goes over the top of the ball, clearly a red card. And he stays on the pitch. It goes to VAR. Mike Dean, the second part of the Mitchell brothers, can't spot a clear red card between them. Goes down the other end. We make a massive cock-up, by the way. About 15 mistakes in the space of, 10 seconds. And we go 2-0 behind. And you just think, you know, yet again, is there a conspiracy to send Everton down to the Championship? And we go 2-0 down. And you just think, I'm sitting there thinking, what have we got to do? I mean, we were poor. We were terrible first half. We didn't create much at all. And whether it was a touch of stage fright, the occasion got to the players, I don't know, but we were so poor. But listen, give us a chance in terms of officiating. Let us at least, you know, if we're going 1-0 down, we're going 1-0 down. But you could argue, Lee, they should have been down to 9 men with Zaha also striking Anthony Gordon in the throat.
Yeah, it's hard not to talk about a game these days, is it, without talking about the officials. And like we've said before, when you should never really be talking about officials. If you don't talk about officials, you know they've had a good game, don't you? And it seems every week it seems to be, you know, occupying time on the pod and amongst fans and everything else. And I just got the impression really early doors, Anthony Taylor was just wanting to be the pantomime villain and the centre of attention yesterday. Normally when you play home games, you know, you tend to get the sort of 50-50 decisions, don't you, from the referee, purely because of the fans and everything else. But you could just see it early doors. He was just not willing to give stuff. There was, you know, stuff that were fouls, you know, like little soft fouls you get in games. And he was just trying to, you know, deliberately not give them and then give goal kicks instead of corners and all those little stupid things. You could just see it. He was just wanting to be the centre of attention. I've tried to, you know, stay away from this whole conspiracy stuff because you've got, you know, I'd be very hard to say that the whole thing's a conspiracy. But when you see these things over and over and over again, you know, the little things in games, obviously you can't influence everything, but you can influence little things that can lead to bigger things. Like you just said there with, you know, you should have been sent off all day. You know, he's gone way over the top of the ball. Apparently, like you said, the VAR reviewed it and said, yeah, they got the ball. What got the ball with his hip after taking him out? He could have broken his leg. It was very similar to the Shelby tackle at Newcastle, wasn't it? Very similar. Reckless, over the top of the ball, could have broke his leg. And, you know, in a completely ridiculous part of the pitch as well. There was just no need for it. And he's got away with it. And, you know, Ayew doesn't score many goals, as you just said, 2 minutes later. You know, how we've conceded that goal. I was in disbelief watching that because obviously, you know, first of all, Mikalenko's put an awful cross in from deep. You know, he didn't even make it to the box. It's the edge of their box, which puts us under pressure straight away. Then it came to Coleman, the loose ball. He's taken a little bit of a heavy touch and obviously, you know, lost it to Mateta. And then thinking, what's going on here? This is an absolute calamity already before he even gets near the goal. And then, you know, for some reason, he's put a, you know, half decent ball in, but we've got bodies in there. There's only one Palace player in there to support the lad. And, you know, I'm thinking, how's Pickford not caught that? But then I've since seen it in the replay when I've got back. Mikalenko's panicked, didn't he? He's panicked. And he's run right across his eye line, which makes Pickford thinking, I can't catch it. And he's punched it, panicking, straight to Zaha. You know, and then he's had a shot. It's bounced around like pinball and hit Aryu in the chin. Then somehow managed to miss our own defenders. You know, Mikalenko again on the line and then through the legs of Decore. And you're just thinking, this is just absolute. What are we watching here? You know what I mean? It was horrendous. It's like something out of a blooming film. I'm thinking, how are we 2-0 down? And that's where there was a real sort of anxiety, you know, amongst the fans who have been absolutely amazing. And all of a sudden that can easily turn then into what the hell's going on here? We're going down. You know what I mean? And fair play to them when they came out for the second half. You know, they really did, you know, literally say, look, forget that now, reset. The players came out with a renewed spirit. You know, to be fair to Dele Alli, came out and warmed up while the players were in the changes and literally, you know, was lifting his hands, going, come on to the fans, going, let's have a go second half. And, you know, to be fair to him, I thought him in particular and Alex Iwobi in the second half when he was pushed into midfield, which was the end of the first half, really drove us forward, mate. You know, both of them were brave, getting on the ball. It needed someone to put the foot on it because it was a little bit sort of panicky. It was a little bit sort of anxiety. You know, every time the players saw the ball, there was no one willing just to put the foot on it, keep the ball. And both him and Iwobi, you know, were really, you know, top in that second half in terms of taking the ball in tight spaces and, you know, willing to sort of, you know, just delay a little bit on the ball and just keep it. You know, not just try and get it forward for the sake of getting it forward. And that was the difference in the second half. Those two in particular were absolutely outstanding. But I did want to mention going down Goodison Road with Pete, actually, and then, you know, going down to where I was walking in to get into the main stand, into the top balcony, it was absolute carnage, mate. It was just, you know, even after the bus had gone, well gone, you know, there was flares everywhere. There was kids on the shoulders of their dads. And then to compound it, which was even brilliant to watch, there was someone brought a footy and they were just launching it like 70, 80 yards in the air. It was bouncing off the roofs of the houses and the pubs there. Literally, it was like watching medieval football, mate. And it was coming off the side of Goodison, off side of the main stand. And as it was coming down, about like 10 lads were going up for headers. You know what I mean? Amongst all the flares and everything else. It was absolute comedy to watch. It was just literally, every time it dropped, then people just got it and launched it again. And, you know, it was absolutely comedy. And then it came near me, actually, at one point, and I tried to bring it down, and literally people are booing because you didn't head it. Do you know what I mean? You might not. I don't head anything. You know, I'm like, so literally I'm awful in the air.
Yeah.
But because you're trying to, it was like, no, head it, everyone. You know, it was just like, oh, mate. I was just laughing my head off. It was just an absolute carnival outside. And obviously you got into the ground then, and it was just the 10 minutes before kickoff. Was unbelievable. I mean, shout out to the guy on the tunes as well, because he put a bit of Rocky Balboa on, mate, before the Everton tunes as well, about 10 minutes before. And that was actually quite, you know, like, fine tingling a little bit, do you know what I mean? Before they put, obviously, Spirit of the Blues on and everything else, and then Zed Cars. It was just like, it was incredible, mate, absolutely incredible. Yeah, I've never experienced anything like it. I have got recollections as a kid of going to that Wimbledon game and being carnage and bloody falling two or three rows forward and everything else. But yeah, I just thought it was just unbelievable. Like, the scenes were just absolutely crazy. And, you know, to swing, like you said, from one emotion of being 2-0 down, of being, oh my God, we're going to be relying on Brentford last day of the season. There's no way we're going to score 3 goals. So then coming out, and credit to the players, you know, they had to get that first goal, didn't we, to, you know, earliest if we could. And I tell you what a finish from Keane, by the way. What a finish that is. I mean, it's great awareness from Holgate to knock it down. He took a touch with his left foot there. And then hit it with the outside of his left foot into the far corner. I mean, you know, a top centre forward, Benzema would have been happy with that. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just a hell of a finish. Keane just turned into Karim Benzema for all of, like, you know, 10 seconds in the box. Absolutely clinical. And then that was it then. It was a case of them dropping off and us just trying to put some half-decent play together amongst all the absolute madness. And we got into some great positions, you know, and Coleman in particular got into a couple of great positions down the right side, and it's just that lack of the final ball. Again, I'm thinking, this is going to kill us here. You know, just having that bit of quality in the final third, and you know, if there's anything going forward next year, and you know, the full, from the fullback position especially, you know, we need that quality, don't we? That's where the width comes from in games, and we got into some great positions just making that final decision, that final pass. And you know, I don't want to be critical because, as I said, I mean, you know, it was just absolutely incredible, incredible to be there, incredible to be part of, and it'll go down in folklore, that, won't it?
Yeah, it will do. It will do. And I think a lot of credit's got to go to the manager at halftime for making the change that he made in bringing Dele Alli on. You know, he came on and we needed someone to get hold of the ball, really, and move the ball forward. And he was a calming influence, but he had a, you know, that little bit of quality as well. He was dropping deep to pick the ball up, but then also joining up with the players who were in the forward positions. And once that first goal goes in, like you say, great finish from Michael Keane. I thought to myself, we'll win this. Just Keane, I thought, you scored early second half. You could see, as you said then, they were retreating. I think they had one chance through Mateta, which Pickford saved, but that was about it. That was all the mustard, and that was a 2-1. But I just thought, we're going to win. I don't know what it was, but the crowd, I mean, the crowd were great all game, but at that point, the crowd were picked up even more so, and we're pushing the players along, and it was just one of those games that, you know, we said time and again that there's no way we should be anywhere near this position. There's numerous reasons as to why we are where we are, and, you know, a lot of people certainly aren't blameless either, but that's a conversation for a different time and another day, and that will come because there's a lot of questions to answer in regards to this season and a lot of changes that needs to be made as well. But you look at the heart that the players showed, you look at the change that Frank Lampard made when he had to, and you just think, we've got to give them massive amounts of praise in terms of how they turned that game around last night. But once we got that first goal and that momentum was with us, I just couldn't see any other outcome. It was totally bizarre. And, you know, the scenes when the second goal goes in with Charles, and again, you know, he promised, didn't he, a few weeks ago that he'd get us out of it. And since then, he's done his utmost. He scored countless goals. He always, you know, his effort is always fantastic. And he scores again. And, you know, at that point, I mean, obviously you were there. You must have felt the uplift in terms of the crowd as we got back into the game, and especially when that second goal goes in, and you think that we've got a good sort of 10, 15 minutes here that we can really go for the winner.
Well, the key word there is momentum, isn't it? Momentum in sport is a massive thing, you know what I mean? And it's always double-fold, isn't it? It's the belief of one team and then the lack of belief of another team, you know, which obviously has a doubling effect. And yeah, you are right. When Keane scored that goal and the crowd, it changed the atmosphere again. The crowd were like, look, we're in this. We're in it. We just need to, basically, as I said, just put some passages of play together and create chances, and the fans will suck that ball in the net. And, you know, massive, massive credit for Richarlison. That was his 10th goal in the Premier League this season. So he's had 10 goals and 6 assists in the Prem this season, which is, you know, in a team that's really struggled, let's have it right. You know, we've not scored a load of goals either. He's, you know, that's a decent return, isn't it? A really decent return, to be fair to him. And to be fair, I don't think he was fully fit, Mike. I don't think he was fully fit. You know, there was rumours abound that he was a little bit, you know, he was carrying a knock before the game anyway, whether they were just rumours or not. But, you know, Richarlison definitely wasn't, you know, is fully, whether he was knackered as well, but is all action, 100% self. And, you know, you could tell he was limping in the last 20 minutes. He was limping. He couldn't fully sprint. And I know he'd taken a few knocks as well, but, you know, that okay, look, it was a slight deflection, but again, he was in the right place. You know what I mean? The ball's come back. It was a bit fortuitous the way it came to him, but, you know, he took a good first touch. You know, he's had that little bit of luck again, like he had against Leicester, isn't it? That little deflection, which just took it into the corner. And then it was absolute pandemonium then, mate. Obviously, a load of fans went on the pitch then. There was flares everywhere. You know, obviously, you know, some of the players were saying to the fans, get off the pitch, get away, you know, we need another here, we need another. And then it was just a case of composure then. It was just a case of, look, you know, it must be so hard to play in that. It's so amazing to play in that atmosphere, but so hard at the same time, because every bone in your body just wants to get the ball forward. But at the same time, you've got to keep your composure. You know, Palace were still carrying, you know, threats, and I thought Eze, by the way, was outstanding yesterday for them. He was absolutely outstanding playing in the number 10 role, sort of floating around. And, you know, he put in a great ball for their goal. But his general all-round play was outstanding, mate. He really was. You know, he's got an awareness of pass. He's got great feet. He's got a little bit of pace. You know, covers the pitch if he needs to as well. He's got a bit of everything. And, you know, another player that sort of slipped through the net, isn't it, in terms of, you know, players we may have looked at and things like that. But that aside, yeah, Richarlison going back to him was, again, you know, if that's his last ever game at Goodison, then, you know, hats off to him, because if he does end up going, you know, we as fans can't begrudge him for that. You know, he's kept us up. His goals have kept us up recently, haven't they? You know, I mean, the stats say it all anyway, in his overall performances. And one thing I did notice as well is when, obviously, you know, Dom scored the winner, which was just unbelievable. It's up there with, you know, one of our most important goals in our history, wasn't it? You know, and there was echoes of Duncan Ferguson against United there for the Champions League and exactly the way it went in. And if you look at it, they all obviously legged it towards the, you know, what ended up being the family enclosure with loads of fans on the pitch again. And I could see it up from the top balcony. I just saw Richarlison. I said, where's he going here? And then he just literally dived, like, you know, literally with his hands by his side, head first into the turf, didn't he? Absolute comedy. And I said to you boys, I just hope there's a video of this, because all the cameras naturally followed, obviously, Calvert-Lewin. And then about 10 fans jumped on Richarlison then. It was absolute comedy gold, that was. It was unbelievable. But if that is his last ever game at Goodison, then fair play to the lad. You know, and we don't want to lose him. He's a top player, Brazilian international. Brilliant tweet to Carragher, by the way, in the early hours of the morning as well. But yeah, you know, we can't begrudge him, can we? If he does end up going to a PSG or whatever, then, you know, to win trophies, and you can't begrudge him, because we're a rebuild now, aren't we? We are a rebuild, and, you know, we probably are a good few years off maybe competing for trophies and honours and European places, and we need to understand that. You know, Lampard needs that time, and if we do end up getting, you know, 60, 70 million for him, then so be it. And it pains me to say that, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've discussed this before in terms of summer plans and, you know, assets that are worth the most money, and Richarlison's top of that list. Obviously, Dom, Jordan Pickford, players who would bring in money. So it could be, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, whether other players go ahead of him, and whether by getting rid of fringe play, we can bring enough in to be able to do a little bit of business ourselves. So let's see. Let's not sort of speculate on that. But he's been great, especially the last sort of couple of months or so. But one player whose attitude you can never question is Richarlison, and he's pulled it out of the bag. You know, he played last night. He was injured. He was injured before the game. Wanted to play, and it shows. It shows. You know, his attitude gets him through. And another goal, he was always involved. And you know, it was just great to. We deserved that last night as a fan base. We deserved that because we've been through so much nonsense, so much heartache, based on shocking decisions that have been made by the club, based on awful officiating over the course of the season, to be honest. And also poor performances as well from our own players. So we definitely deserved that moment yesterday. We deserved, you know, when Dom, great header, by the way, it was like Big Dunk against Man U.
Yeah, that's what I said. Outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah, great header. And Dom played well. I thought he did well. You know, hold-up play was good. He looked like, you know, he was hanging in the air, which we know that he can do.
He looked fit, didn't he?
He looked fit. Yeah. He did, and that's what he needs. You know, people need to bear in mind the injury he had was a really, really bad injury. You know, when he's come back, he was rushed back at first, which showed because he broke down. But great goal for him. You know, 2-2 for him. But the scenes at the end, you know, were just, that is just what 38,000 Evertonians just showing. Sheer relief at the fact that we've staved off relegation, because we all knew what it meant in terms of, from a financial point of view, we would have been absolutely crippled. Who knows what it would have meant in terms of our future, because there's so much on the line for us to stay in the Premier League, from Bramley Moore, from the shirt sponsor for the new season. That was dependent on us staying up, which we can now sign off and get that shirt revealed. Hummel, hint, hint. There was so much at stake there. There really, really was. And to get over the line in such dramatic circumstances, it's no surprise to me that our fans showed it in the way that they did. And outside of the incident with Patrick Vieira, which we won't go into, although we think that by, you know, at the end of the day, if you do that to someone in the street, you're bound to get a smack. So it's no difference, and I apportion no blame to Patrick Vieira whatsoever. You know,
no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, if, like you said, if anyone did that to anyone, goading someone, swearing in their face, camera right in your face, you're going to react, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Of course. And you understand it. So I don't think he should be looking at getting any kind of punishment at all. I think we've got to be careful now as a club, because there's been a couple of unsavoury incidents in the last couple of home games, which are, you know, despicable. You know, we go back to the racism in terms of Ivan Toney in the Brentford game, and his family, and Rico Henry as well, which is totally bang out of order. So we've got to, you know, the club have got to look at all this now. But don't begrudge us that moment and that sheer release of the tension, the pressure we've all felt. We've not been sleeping. It's been a real struggle the last couple of weeks especially. So we're allowed that moment. And the scenes were great. I mean, look at Frank Lampard on top of the boxes there. You know, I'm surprised that the roof didn't cave in, to be honest, because there's not the stadiums. But look at the scenes. Look at what it means. He's up there hugging the likes of Peter Reid, Graham Shaw, Tony Bellew was knocking around with a couple of his lads. And that shows you how much the manager's bought into our football club. And he deserves the time now to go forward. You know, 2-3 years now to try and build a side that is fit to grace what's going to be the best stadium in the Premier League. And I'm delighted for him that he's come in. He's done the job that he said he was going to do. And I'm delighted for him that he's kept us in the Premier League. But more delighted for us that we're going to be in the Premier League next season.
Totally agree. I'm happy for Lampard. One of his key strengths, we know he's not the finished article as a manager. We know that. He's a young manager. He's learning his way in the game. We've said this. You know, tactically, he'll learn as he gets on. He'll be the first to admit that that's the side of the game obviously he needs to improve on. You know what I mean? But, I mean, one thing he is naturally very good at is a man manager. You can't underestimate man management, especially nowadays in football, you know, where you are managing, let's be honest, you know, absolutely filthy rich millennials, really, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? So there is an element there where, you know, Klopp is, you know, regarded as one of the best, and that is one of his key strengths as well, is man management skills. It's imperative, and you can see the players. You saw some of the stills of the pictures in the changing room after with Seamus Coleman and Richarlison and all that, you know, and Lampard's face is beaming, all the players are beaming, and to create that dressing room spirit really takes, you know, an ability to be able to do that as a man manager, and that's one of his key strengths. The other side of the game will come, as I've said, you know, one thing Lampard, everyone who's played with him will tell you, you know, Frank, the game didn't come easy to Frank like it did again, you know, for some players. You know, at England at youth level, he wasn't a shoo-in playing every week. You know, if anything, he, you know, youth level, he, you know, it was widely known. He was on the bench a lot. Carragher's talked about it himself. But one thing, he dedicated himself as a player, almost on Ronaldo levels, to be the best player he could possibly be, you know, grind every single ounce of talent out of himself. And I think he's well, we know that he'll be like that as a manager. We know that. You know, he's dedicated. He'll want to be the best possible version of himself as a manager. And, you know, for us now, as I said, you just said it yourself, he's united the fan base. He's got us over the line now by hook or by crook. He's been willing to change things to get results. If anything, he was a little bit too conservative at the start of the game yesterday, sticking with that, you know, wing-back, five-at-the-back formation, almost to probably protect ourselves, particularly against Zaha down that side. And then, obviously, you know, okay, look, the way the game panned out, it was never a 2-0 game, really. Although Palace did play well, they played with no fear. You know, you could see that. We said that before the game, that they would play with no fear, and they did. You know, they played with confidence once they got the goal. But, you know, we saw that bit out. We saw that storm out. And you know, he changed it. You know, reacted to it, put Iwobi back into midfield, went four at the back. And I did, you know, I must admit, when he brought Dele on at half-time, I was thinking, is that the right sub there? The only natural defensive midfielder we've got in there now is Doucouré. Would have been better off bringing on an Alan or even a Van der Beek and asking Doucouré then to make those late runs into the box. You know, but it turned out to be absolutely spot on because, like you said before, Dele changed the game. One thing with Dele, you know, to mention him again there is he clearly, you know, he's got that little bit of arrogance about him, hasn't he? He backs his own ability. You know, in his head, he'd be thinking, put me on here, Gaffer. Put me on here. I'll put my foot on the ball. I'll carry the ball in tight spaces. I'll draw fouls. You know what I mean? I'll try and create. And he did. You know, he came on and he's clearly, you know, backs his own ability. There was a bit when I think it was 3-2, wasn't it, where he got the ball, broke from midfield. It was only Richarlison up with him down the left side. And he went to pass it and then faked the pass. And then just took it into their box almost saying, go on, foul me then, foul me. And obviously tried a bit of skill at the end or whatever to try and, you know, and ended going out for a goal kick. But the point is there, he was just willing to take those extra touches on the ball, wasn't he, to back himself. And not just, you know, not just give the, you know, give the ball for the sake of giving it. And yeah, so from that standpoint, yeah, I thought, as I said before, he completely changed the game. But and credit to Frank for changing it, you know, and switching it up and going for it, because a draw was useless for us, wasn't it? We had to go for the win, just to, you know, to make it safe then and not take it into the last game of the season, and almost take it out of our hands a little bit. But I hope he gets given the time. We all know that now. You know, if we have a, you know, a slow start next season, we know there's going to be lots of changes. You'll probably have to then, you know, integrate three, maybe four players into that starting 11 possibly next season. You know, we've just got to give him time now. And as fans, there's got to be a realistic expectation. If we finish, you know, mid-table next season, but we can see a clear direction, shoots of improvement, then so be it. So be it. You know, it has to be a gradual improvement. I hopefully now, both Frank and, you know, Kevin Thelwell now, you can, you know, get their heads together and be just given the time to change it now without any interference.
That's it. Now, it's going to be a big summer of rebuilding. A lot of players will be moved on. I mean, we've got a lot of players here at the end of the contracts as well. And you know, there's players on the fringes there with maybe a year or two left that we'll be looking to ship out as well for all right money, but to get the wages off the book so we can bring hopefully young, hungry, athletic players in. So Frank Lampard can start to really put his stamp on the club. But that conversation we'll be having numerous chats over the course of the summer about that, about recruitment, about who's coming in, who's leaving the club. But we've got to, you know, last night belongs to us, belongs to every Evertonian who've gone through it all this season. And it's a match that will live long in the memory. The scenes will live long in the memory. And of course, for everyone who was there, everyone who witnessed them. And it's just an oversensing feeling of sheer relief. It is the overriding feeling for me, and I'm sure most people will agree with that. To go through what we've been through and come out the other side with so much on the line is a credit to, I've got to say, to the players, the manager, but more importantly to the fans, who've more than stuck together, who've been more united than ever in recent weeks, and I've got to be said, it's the fans that have got us over the line more than anything else. I think that. That United
totally fans, agree.
It's down to the fans. And every single fan who's been involved, who's been in the game, who's been to wave the players off before we travel to various away games, who's been at the coach arrival at Goodison Park. Listen, you all deserve a huge pat on the back and should be incredibly proud that you were part of the reason why we stayed in the Premier League and could have safeguarded our future. And it sounds dramatic, but that's exactly what it's done for me. And relegation didn't bear thinking about. But as the time was going on yesterday, and we got to, you know, we're 2-0 down into the second half, and you're thinking, this is us, we're done. We're done. After being in a great position over the last couple of weeks and pulling ourselves back in, we're done. But,
mate, it would have been easy to turn against the team. It really would have been easy to turn against the team at half-time. But they came out, and from the whistle, the fans backed them. You know what I mean? The fans did back them. You know, especially the way we conceded the goal, certainly the second one. And they really got behind the team. So massive kudos, like you said there. The fans have played a huge part. And that's what unity does for you. That's what unity does for you. You know, we mentioned that unity in the last podcast, and that's what it does. When everyone's pulling in the same direction, you know, hopefully we can carry this atmosphere into next year as well. You know, make it that really intimidating place to play again. And we've certainly done that in the last few weeks, you know. And you know, and you only have to look at Rangers. You know, look what they've done in the Europa League. You know what I mean? Their team as a whole, that starting 11 in the final for them cost 13 million quid, of which Ryan Kent was 7 million quid. Do you know what I mean? And they've pulled a lot of these players together from the Championship, from the Premier League, you know, players that are, you know, on the edges of squads. And you know, in some of the away games, I think they lost quite a few away games by the one goal. And then they were taking teams back to Ibrox and make it an absolute bear pit to play in. And that has a massive impact. And we've seen it, you know, we've seen it with ourselves. And, you know, as I said before, just absolutely chuffed for the fans, for Lampard, for the players, you know, and we've got over the line. And, you know, we can go into the game on Sunday now, you know, without the stress of just going in, you know, going in thinking we need to get something here. And like you just said before there, though, you know, we can't let this happen again. We just can't let it happen again. You know, we've got to get the basics in place now. And going into next season, like I said, you know, scout well, scout properly, sign players in the right categories, in the right age brackets, and just build slowly from there.
Most definitely. But we can all enjoy now a well-earned break and sleep after what's been a really, really difficult season. With the odd bright spot here and there. We'll be back ourselves on Sunday after Arsenal, but we just don't care. So who knows how that one's going to go in terms of the show and the match and who's going to play. Frank's alluded to changes and players who are on the periphery are going to probably get the nod. And they're probably all going to be hungover anyway today. So it won't be much happening at Finch Farm. So little preparation time. Nothing on the line, thank God. So Sunday's podcast, we will be back, but we don't care anymore. And we all just want to go to sleep and not look at football for the next couple of months and come back refreshed for a big season. Frank Lampard's first full season as Everton manager, first proper transfer window under his belt as well. Massively important. We hopefully have got a blueprint and a plan going forward, but this last night belongs to us all, belongs to all the fans, all the listeners, everyone who loves the club. You know, we've all cried, I'm sure. We've all hugged strangers. We've been through it all in the last sort of 12 hours or so, 24 hours. But let's enjoy that. A lot of work to be done. Thanks for listening to this impromptu podcast. Wasn't planned, but listen, we couldn't not discuss it. Vitally important that we did. Pete will be back on Sunday. As we know, he undertakes some very important work for MI6. So we can't get him on a weekday. So we'll be back on Sunday. We're going to look back at Arsenal. But in the meantime, just enjoy this.
All the angels are looking down. Howard Kendall's looking down. Alan Ball, Brian LeBone, Terry Garakoff, Dave Tipton, Andy King. They're all looking down. Gary Ablett. They're looking down on us because we can sense salvation. 90 seconds to go. 90 seconds away from Premier League safety. We were down and out. We were gone. We're not now. Calvert-Lewin heads it on. Dele Alli controls it. Throw in for Everton. Yes! Throwing down on the right-hand side. 60 seconds to go. 60 seconds away. Surely we can just pass the ball for 60 seconds. We are 60 seconds away from safety. Throw in for Everton, far side. John Joe Kenny will take it. He's on for Richarlison. Just give it to Damari Gray or Calvert-Lewin and tell him to stay there. Oh, it's a high one. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, down by the corner flag. Use all your
your strength. Can you throw into Crystal Palace? 30 seconds to go. 30 seconds to go. Crystal Palace want to take a throw in. They really shouldn't be that bothered, but they are. Conor Gallagher takes on Calvert-Lewin, touches it to Ezra, watching forward towards Benteke.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues, Three Opinions, One Everton Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Podcast Network.